Good morning.
Morning. Morning.
We can turn to Romans 7 to start off. Romans 7. It's always nice to be at home talking and speaking. And this morning we're going to talk a little bit about perseverance. The message changed several times over the last week of what it was going to be. And this is what it ended up as. So, Romans 7, we'll start in verse 13. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin, producing death in me, though what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing dwells in me that is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. So let's just open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are and what you've done. And we just thank you for this time that we can have to come before you. And then two or three are gathered. There you are in the presence. And we just thank you for being here and giving us able bodies to be here. And please let your words be spoken and not mine. And thank you for this time. In Jesus Christ we pray. So, yeah, I know you've all heard that those verses before. Why do I do what I want to do, but the very thing? Why do I do the very thing I hate? When is God real to you? Is it a real thing? And what I mean by that is, and do you have ownership of God? And what I mean by that is, if someone was to badmouth God, would you be there to defend? What would you do? There's a little story I heard of this kid. The father said to the kid, I want you to go earn $5 today. So the father went off to work, and his instructions to the kid was, you earn the $5. When I get back from work, I want to see the $5. So the kid went to his mom, and he's like, Mom, I got to earn $5. So the mother gives him the $5. The father comes home from work, and he's like, so what did you get? And the kid proudly hands him the $5. Father takes the $5, throws it in the fire. And the mother says, why would you do something like that? And he was like, well, now I know that you gave him the $5. He didn't really earn it. He got $5, but he didn't earn it. So the father says the next day, you earn your $5. So the kid starts asking all his friends and all this other stuff the next day. And he comes up with $5 from asking all of his friends and things like that. And the mother wouldn't give him. She's like, I was just going to throw it in the fire again. So the son gives the father the $5, and the father takes the $5 and he throws it in the fire. And he was like, why would you do that? He was like, I asked everyone I know for that money. He's like, you didn't earn it. So then third day, tells the kid, you got to earn the $5. So when I get back, I want to see the $5. So the kid was okay. So the father goes to work and kid does all these things to try to earn the $5. He ended up earning $2 from work. He raked some leaves. He brought some trash out, but he made $2. He actually earned this. So the father comes home and the son shows him and he takes the $2 and he shows the father. The father takes the $2 bills or the $2 and he throws it in the fire and the son reached his hand into the fire to pull the money out. It's a lot different when you earn something. And he said, now I know that you earned that money and it wasn't just given to you. You know, with God and stuff like that, stuff was given to us, but Jesus had to come and earn our eternal life with God. Are we willing to reach in that fire or throw ourselves out there to defend God? Do we have ownership like that where we would reach in for $2 into a fire for God? And it seems like, you know, every time you try to do a good work for the Lord, something happens. The verse 21 says, so I find to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. I think every time I've ever had a message, my Saturday might be the busiest Saturday of the year. So I don't know how that always happens, but the Lord tries to, or the Satan or whatever tries to keep me busy just for that last day of study before we come up here. I know before VBS a lot of times, things just happen. Flat tires. I remember one year we got locked out of the shed. And I think Brian did the most athletic thing he's ever done and he kicked the door in. But things just seem to happen. And I know brothers in here are even going through this now where they're doing something right for the Lord and then they seem to get hit with different struggles constantly. Why? Why is it that, and how do we handle that? One thing we could do is we rely on each other. Ephesians 4. We could turn there. We'll be there for a little bit. Ephesians 4, 1. And I'll just read a little bit. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another, in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. No, right there, bearing with one another. If we see another brother struggling, are we quick to help that out? But for us personally, as we're going through it, with all humility, gentleness, and with patience, which could be a very tough thing to do. If someone was to look at your life and take a snapshot, what would they notice about you in that snapshot? I know as you would go throughout your days, like each snapshot would be a little bit different. So we'll say, what if someone was to make a movie about you? What would the movie be like? Would it be a drama? Mine would probably be more of a comedy, Dumber Dumber, mixed in with a reality show of building a house. But what would your movie be like? What would they notice about you? Is it if you all call yourselves Christians, would they be able to tell that you're a Christian without saying that you're a Christian? It's like, how do we know a vegan's a vegan? They're going to tell you, right? How do you know if someone was to look at you, how do they know that you're a Christian? So you take that snapshot, and what would you want them to notice? Are you being humble? Are you being gentle? Are you being patient? Especially if you're doing something for the Lord and these things start hitting you. And then what happens? You start in your head thinking, maybe I shouldn't be here. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this. But we're all sinners, and the Lord has something for us each. Colossians 3, we'll start in 12. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So there again, bearing one another. You know, how quick are you to go to another brother to do some counseling or whatever, to talk about scriptures? I know growing up, I had a disagreement, but we looked at scripture or a couple of verses from a different point of view. So the brother came to me and he's like, I want to meet with you. And so we met multiple times and we became very good friends. We actually went from disagreeing on most things to now we actually understand each other. And we see it from their perspective. So I had my perspective, he had his perspective, and then we got together, and then a lot of good things came from that. So if you are not meeting with another brother, I challenge you to meet with another brother. So I know growing up too, I thought I wouldn't be worthy to meet with an elder. It was they're up here and I'm down here. I challenge you to go meet with an elder. They'll make time for you. When you put yourself with in sports and things like that, and you want to challenge yourself, you don't go out and find the worst player to play against. You're going to go out and find the best player to play with to make you better. So that's why I'm challenging you to pick out someone that's well-versed in the Bible. Romans 8. We'll go to verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You know, so what is it that you're living for on a day-to-day? Do you wake up and instantly, you know, scroll through your phone and think about all your lists? Do you pray? What is it that you do? It only takes a it only takes a short time to get into a rut, right? If it takes a long time to break, what is it? It's a long time to make a habit, or 3 weeks to make a habit, but to make a bad habit, it's like really quick, right? So what are your habits like, and do they involve God? Hebrews 12. We'll jump to Hebrews 12. Therefore, lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. You know, a lot of times we're going through the trials or the struggles, and you feel weak, you feel down, and you get that like depressed feel. But almost everything that becomes strong goes through like a weak phase. So if you go to the gym, you go there and you break down muscle, right? If you're lifting weights, you're lifting weights, and you'll do it till you fail. Or if you're on the Stairmaster, you're struggling and you're doing these things and your legs hurt. But then the next time you go, it's a little stronger. And if you're consistent with it, it gets stronger quicker. Or if you go to the gym once every 3 months, it's just going to hurt. But if you go consistently, it gets stronger and stronger. With your body, if you break a bone, the bone heals in that spot stronger. You most likely never break your bone in that spot ever again. So, and that kind of works with everything. You're going to fail a little bit, and then you get up, and then you keep going. I know my daughters have been in a bunch of tryouts lately, and she was in a softball tryout, and I told her, I was like, if you miss a ball, just run after it after. It's nobody cares that you missed it. Just go in as fast as you can, get the ball, and throw it in. No one's going to care. And just the hustle and things like that, she got a call back. She gets to go try out again. And that was her first time ever trying out. She had no idea what she was doing. And but because she hustled after everything, she's got another chance. So in life, do we do that same thing, or are we just okay just being where it's just okay? There's this saying from this guy. He says good all the time. His name is Jocko or something. He's a business guy. I don't really know who he is, but I've heard him talk about this. And he's a business owner, and every time one of his employees would come up to him and say that we have a problem, his answer was good. Well, now we have the opportunity to fix it. And they're like, well, we didn't get what we wanted. Good. Because now we get to figure out how to do it like a different way. And it would happen to him over and over. So now when they go to him, I know you're going to say good, but this is the problem. And then they would figure it out together. When we have problems in our life, are we rejoicing about them? I know when my wife told me that one of the air conditioners blew in our house the other day, my first reaction was not good. It was like, oh boy. See if I could steal one from the chapel like I did the refrigerator. But, you know, so if we get knocked down, if we're depressed, where do we look at? Isaiah 53:3. This is a quick one. Could be Isaiah 53:3. Let's see. Of 52:2-3, for he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. You know, the Lord went through this himself. Jesus did when he was here. Ephesians 3:16. Or we'll go from 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, in that, it talks about being rooted and grounded. You know, how is it that you're rooted and grounded? Or what is it that you're doing? Are you only coming to church on Sunday? Are you reading every day? What is it that you're doing to be rooted? Colossians 2:7 says, rooted and built up in him and established in faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. You know, how much faith does it take to move a mountain? Just a little bit, right? I said the mustard seed. Do we have that faith? Do we truly believe that God is going to take care of us? You think about that poem when you saw the one set of footsteps. Do we believe that he can carry us through? I know, like, when we ask for prayers and stuff like that, sometimes, and you have that one person that's like, oh, don't worry, Jesus will take care of that. And she's like, I'm moving. I need physical help. Or do you think about that guy that was with the floods? We got all those floods going on. You think about that guy in the flood, and the rescue boat came by, and he said, no, I'm good, Jesus. Jesus will take care of me. And then the waters were higher, and he was on the second floor, and he said, nope, Jesus will take care of me. And then he was on the roof in the rescue boat, and he's like, hey, it's the last rescue boat. And he's like, don't worry about it. Jesus will take care of me. And then the rivers got too high, and he ended up in heaven. And he said, you know, why didn't you take care of me? And he's like, I sent 3 boats. You know, we have to do something, too. We have to take that first step sometimes. And, you know, it's hard. Sometimes I know sometimes when I go to work and I just don't want to do the work. But once I get out and start doing it, it's fine. You know, it's sometimes it just takes that first step to just go out and do something. When it talks about in this verse that you being rooted and grounded in love, you know, we've done many studies on love. What kind of love do you think that this is talking about? You have the phileo, the storge, the eros, the agape, right? The unconditional love. Do we have that unconditional love for everyone? And that's a tough one, to have that for everyone. You know, you just got that one person that just, like, gets on your nerves that little bit, and then you're kind of, like, rude to them or just, oh, I can't stand that person. Some of us have bosses like that. And it's a struggle to not, you know, talk bad and things like that about them. I know I struggle with that. So, but how is it that you're rooted? Are you rooted in faith and in love? Colossians 2. Go to Colossians 2. That was the wrong one. Colossians 2:6. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. You know, there it is, though. Are you rooted and grounded? Are you being built up? And are you being built up on a daily basis? Or is it just every now and then? Ephesians 2:20 says, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Is that what you are built up on? Is that your foundation? You know, when I heard someone say when about taking that snapshot or a video of my life and what would people notice about me, you know, that got me pretty good, because, you know, sometimes I would be fine. And other times I'm like, man, I hope they didn't see that. You know, we got to be consistent in what we're doing, so that what are they noticing? But if we have the Lord in us, we know he's there all the time. And if he was standing right next to us all the time, what would you do? And I know definitely in the hard times and those times where people come up with the issues and they say, well, this is a problem, it's going to be tough. Colossians 1:24. I think we were there today. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I become a minister according to the stewardship from God is given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known. You know, it says there's over and over in the Bible, it talks, these guys, they're rejoicing in the truth, or rejoicing in their sufferings, especially Paul. And then David was always singing hymns. You had Job that wouldn't curse God. There's over and over. Those guys had struggles too. I know David was not a perfect guy, but look at the great work that he did. Because he kept on picking himself up, and he kept on with God, and he would sing songs, and we nowadays still use what David said. So we'll go to James 4. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? That's a question. Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder, you covet, you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly. To spend it on your passions, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that Scripture says he yearns jealousy over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. So that's just another part of the first part of that is, what is your passions? You know, that comes back to, do you take full ownership of God in you? Is that what they see? Is that what you want them to see? Farther down, James 5:7. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and late rains. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, and judge is standing at the door. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, and how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. So there again, be patient. And that's the example of being patient is the farmer. You know, have you ever planted a seed? Have you ever tried it? Grow a garden? It's tough. It takes a lot. And, you know, when you're growing a garden and stuff like that, you have to constantly be plucking weeds. And nowadays you have the weed mat you could put down and weeds still grow on top of that. And you have to water it certain ways. And if there's a dead branch, you got to prune it off. But it keeps constant attention. And our walk with the Lord is going to be a constant thing. It's an everyday thing. It's every moment where you have to think he's with us, and just, what would he do here? Be patient. Establish your heart. And the Lord is coming. But over and over, it talks about sufferings, and everyone has them, and it just keeps happening, and to rejoice in your suffering. So the next time you have a trial or tribulation, you know, are you going to say good? Like, the Lord put this in front of me. It's like, good, I get to figure out how to get through this. How are you going to, God, I don't want this one, not now. But he's trying to teach you something. So it's just a challenge to everyone. And this was for me too, was, you know, rejoice in those sufferings. It's going to happen. Especially if you're going to do good work for the Lord. The VBS coming, something's going to happen. You're going to have a flat tire, or someone's going to get sick. Something's going to happen. But rejoice in it. Figure out what God's plan is for you in that time. So this last verse, therefore, as you receive Christ in the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and establish in faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Just be thankful. If the Lord is with us, who could be against us? So let's just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are. We thank you for the little lessons you gave us today, or at least me. And we thank you for this time that we could have and come study your word. And please be with everyone as they travel home today, and keep everyone safe. In the name of Christ, we pray.